That's right, verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And so he goes, he runs away, he doesn't know where he's going, but Pharaoh's daughter had raised him. And now Pharaoh's out to kill Moses, and he goes and he sits down by a well. And while he's there, in verse 16, the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs of water for their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. So we not only see the control of God in this, but we see the courage of Moses. Now, remember the courage that he had whenever the Egyptian was fighting against one of his brothers? He had the courage and he went and he slew the Egyptian. But he's beginning a little wiser now. But he's still courageous. And he goes to deliver the seven daughters of the priest of Midian, and he stands up against the shepherds. In verse 17, the shepherds came and drove them away. Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds." Of course, he's not an Egyptian. And also, he drew enough water for us, and he watered our flock there. And so God is using him to deliver seven women from these shepherds. And God is later going to use him to deliver an entire nation. And Moses is growing here. He's becoming wiser. He's becoming courageous. And God is working in his life and through his life, bringing him to the purpose for which God has spared his life there. Now we come to verse 21, and we see the contentment of Moses. Verse 20 first. He said to his daughters, "Where is he? And why is it that you've left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. We want to thank him for what he's done." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. And the word Gershom, he named him that, verse 22, because he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land." And so here is Moses, who has made this decision, and this word stranger is tied to the decision that Moses made here, and he's made this decision to flee and to get out of town because his sin was known. And this word decision in the Hebrew, and we won't take time to get into all of that, but it has great theological support for the free will of man. Man has a free will, and Moses had a free will, and he decided to leave. Now we see the sovereignty of God and the providence of God, and even though man has a free will to make his choice, God holds him responsible for the choices that he makes, and that is in this word here with the contentment. And just as Gershom's name means stranger, aren't we strangers? We are strangers in a foreign land, just as Moses was. And Moses was content with what God was doing with him and where God had placed him. And God wants us to be content. And that's what Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And Moses was content because he understood, obviously, the foresight of God. Well, verse 23, we see the cry of the Israelites. "It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. We saw that word sighing in our outline this morning, remember. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. That was the word we saw in Romans this morning, how we groan, creation groans, and the Holy Spirit groans. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect to them. And so they cried out to God in process of time. Remember this morning when we looked at that word groaning, and it had to do with waiting, that all of creation waits while it groans for God to give a new heaven and new earth, and how we wait and groan. And here is that same concept of waiting. We see it in verse 23. It came to pass in the process of time. And it's that waiting, because God is sovereign and God has a plan, and he's working out that plan. And sometimes we groan and sometimes we sigh, but we can trust God as we cry out to him. Crying out to God should be a part of our daily lives as well. And we should learn to be content while we're waiting on the answer from God. And the last thing we see is the covenant of God. In verse 24, God heard their groaning, God heard their praying, and he remembered his covenant. Now, when it says he remembered his covenant, it's not like he had forgotten it and now he remembered it, but rather he had brought it back to the plan. It was a process of time. So he hadn't forgotten the covenant, but in his own timing, he was going to accomplish something with Moses here. And he had respect to them. That word means that he had knowledge and care about them. And so God looked down and saw them with their taskmaster being so cruel to them, and God saw that the Pharaoh was killing all of the Hebrew babies being born, and God knew all that was going on. He didn't stop it way back then, but he could have. Isn't that what people ask a lot? If God is such a good and loving God, why does he let those things happen? You know, God is sovereign, and God has a plan. And he had respect. He saw it, and he cared about it, and he knew what they were going through here. And so in conclusion, let's make some applications to this, and we'll be finished. First of all, God has a plan. He had a plan for Israel. He has a plan for the church that he founded in the book of Acts. God has a plan for you individually. Remember a show one time on TV that part of it at the end, there was a saying, I love it when a plan comes together. Well, God has a plan, and his plan will always come together. It's in process of time, but God has a plan. Well, second thing that we can see, that his plan has valleys and mountains. Part of the valley was Joseph was sold into slavery. There was a famine in the land. Moses was born and all these babies were being killed. Moses was spared. That was a mountain, but there are valleys and mountains in God's plan. And as we go through life, there are ups and downs, even as it was there here. Well, God uses people to accomplish his plan. He used Moses. He used Moses' sister, his parents, the Egyptians. He even used Pharaoh. And God can use us as well. And God wants us to trust him and to be content with his plan. We might not understand his plan. We might be groaning and sighing through the plan. But God has a plan, and he will accomplish it. And God's plan takes time. And God is working. We may not see it. We may not understand it. But God is working, even as he was working with all the babies being destroyed here. And while God is working on his plan, he is working in us. And so God's plan is not just about circumstances and plans and events, but God's plan is specifically about people. And so the plan that he has is for his people, Israel. And he was concerned for Moses and for each individual there as he is for us. And he has a plan. And whenever we're going through the valleys and mountains in our lives and we're going through these events and in the process of time, it's not just getting through all of these things to have them over with, but it's God working in us to accomplish something. And two more, God wants our prayers to be part of his plan because he hears our prayers. They cried out to God and he heard them. And lastly, we see the providence of God, that God is true to his plan, that is his covenant, his agreement, his promise, his word. God is true to it, and we can depend on God. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, we sing. Oftentimes in our plans, we come up with something where we say, well, if that doesn't work, I'll go to plan B. You ever had a plan B? Aren't you glad to know God doesn't have a plan B? He doesn't need a plan B because God is sovereign and he's in control. And no matter what happens to us in this new year, God has a plan and he's going to work that plan. And he wants to use us to be a blessing to others as Moses' sister was. And he wants us to trust him and cry out to him and even wait for the process of time for him to bring to pass his plan and purpose in our lives.